I've learned to perfect the title, SG. We are in your hands. Welcome. We know you've been hard at work. We have not, particularly on my side, I have not reneged on my undertaking of the yellow suit. I'm still waiting for the tailor. And I've been sending messages to your office and all sorts of correspondence to get this tailor. But up until such time that the tailor has been made available, you'll be the only one in the yellow suit. But we are in support of your work. Thank you very much and welcome. As usual, we do have media people in here. You are also welcome. Thank you. Thank you, SG.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, members of the media. It's always a pleasure to come and brief Parliament and to account to yourself to report on progress. I see that the Auditor General is also here and they are colleagues that we work with in the office regularly looking at how well we are doing. With us here, Chair, we have Trevor Oosterbeek, who is the head of the campaign in terms of communications and marketing. We have Felicia Sitole, who is working in communications. And from the Minister's office, we have Trevor Dumisa Jale. Chair, we are left with 41 days to go. 41 days to go to the census. With 41 days to go, there are a number of activities that have been undertaken. At day 50, you will recall that the President launched the census and said the nation counts. We are part of the send-off party to the Maboko Boko to say, well, we know you will not be back in the country by the time we start the count and finish the count, because you are going to do duty. So we have to enlist you before you go, so that you know that we have you in our hearts as you go and do duty for the country in New Zealand and defend your title successfully. So that happened on Monday, which was another 7 days, except for day 43. The outline of the presentation is really what are the benefits of the census, which I think which members know, what are the difficulties previously, what are the key dates, what will be the key information in the census, what is the progress to date, challenges, and then strategies. And under strategies, we include the ambassadorship program for members of parliament, what we would request from yourselves to do. Well, the census, as we know, is a total count of people who are residents who are in a country as of the census night, which is the night of the 9th and the 10th. And we gather characteristics of the population, such as the age of the people, the sex of the people, the qualifications, education, where they work. In this regard, we have 25 questions that facilitate this conversation. 50 of those questions relate to the individual, 25 at household. And of course, at the end, we get a picture of the country. The are things that are very unique to the census is the question of simultaneity. You count everybody all at the same time. Although we count over 21 days, we fix the reference date so that we can relate to the population of the country at that point in time. Why is the census very important? It gives you this information. It elicits issues. It helps us to deal with issue identification, issue quantification. It helps us with intervention planning. It helps us with monitoring the interventions. It helps us finally with evaluating whether the interventions have actually delivered the results. So evidence-based planning, monitoring, and evaluation of programs is a key benefit that emanates from the census. In terms of programs that are supposed to intervene, one of those is how do we become equitable? It provides for social justice, because it says each one counts as an individual, and therefore for equity to be available, we need to know each one and know each one's circumstances. So equity in distribution of government services, funds to provinces, to local governments, sector planning such as in health and education. For yourself, honorable members, you need to know who you represent. So for electoral wards and delineation of boundaries of districts, including determination of central places, that is central places, the index of central places, central place index, yes, let me put it that way. Because you bring the population factor to determine your central place index, the density that you have against economic activity. For the statistics office, the census is most crucial because it provides the frame against which subsequent surveys are implemented. Your sampling frame, that's what the census provides. For instance, at the moment we have added questions on agricultural activities, and that forms the basis for the next census of agriculture. So there's a very direct benefit coming out of the census to look and focus on small agriculture, emerging agriculture, food security issues. The census provides that frame which we'll implement. And indeed, census is central to the implementation of the national statistics system, and this is contained in our document, our web program, and our strategy, that in the 5 years of the strategy, we'll implement to the full the Statistics Act, and in that act is the national statistics system which has to be implemented. Previous censuses, the first one in 1996 post-apartheid, and we gave a full cover of the country, 2001, and that was the second count that covered the entire country. And then, of course, the large-scale survey of 2007, which was the community survey. Members will recall that Bruce Kanemea, Honorable MP Bruce Kanemea, said, as we were facing SCOPA then, for our misdeeds, said that Census 96, you dug your grave. Census 2001 will fell into your grave. Census 2006 will bury you. That's why we went for a community survey instead of a full census, because we were weak on the knees. This organization was too vulnerable to run another large-scale operation. So it was important that we stood back and did something else, which was the community survey. In terms of the act, census has to be run every 5 years. In terms of that, the cabinet then determined on our recommendation that instead of running a census, you run a big survey. We need to provide an accurate image and picture of country at national, provincial, district, municipal, village level, suburb level. We need to implement Act number 6 of 1999, particularly Section 7.2a of that Act, says that the minister will determine the date of the census and gazette such. And then the statistician general, once that date has been determined, will cause the census at work. We need a time series data on small areas so that we can track. And then, of course, we said that we had a 1996 full cover, 2001 full cover of the country. Of course, what we are not saying is that while we intended to cover the country fully, we had a 10% undercount in 1996 and a 17% undercount in 2001. So this is a key challenge that we need to wrestle with and sort out, because with those kind levels of undercount, we corrode the adequacy of the census, we corrode the adequacy of the statistics system. And census 2011 definitely has to be different. I said that there are 75 questions. There are questions on demographics, employment, and education. There are questions that are directed to women who are of childbearing age, and we need to know how many children they have given birth to and how many children died, so that then we can determine the rate of change of population, either growth or decline. And of course, we also ask questions on migration. The questions on migration, however, cover those who arrived in South Africa, not those who left South Africa. That's the difficulty about the questions on migration. But internal migration, that one we will understand. There are 25 questions about household, service delivery, electricity, water and sanitation, material of housing structure and composition, and of course the derived variable, which is the household size. What are the expected measurement issues? We started off by saying that if we have to use evidence as the basis for planning, basis for decision making, then what are the measures? The measures are to measure the standard of living, quality and profile of service delivery, extent of welfare support on children, disabled, old age. I mean, these are the numbers, and then, of course, we'll know how many of these people are, and therefore what kind of support there should be. Infrastructure distribution, including water supply, electricity, housing, measure of deprivation, such as unemployment, those who do not have income, those who do not have schooling, those who are living in poor housing conditions, such as informal settlements. We know that in 1996 they were about 16%. 2001 they were still 16%. This has been the most stubborn and difficult sector in terms of human settlement, the informal settlement. That has almost remained very, very static, but increasing in the urban centers of or rather the more urban provinces such as Gauteng and Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. What we have done is we have 103,000 small areas that we have demarcated for data collection. And in each of these, there are 130 households. This number may increase as we have now deployed 30,000 people to say, well, here are 103,000 small areas. We don't know what is contained in those small areas. What we have seen from an aerial photo is that there are this number of areas. But we don't know what is in those dwellings. We see that there is a block of flats, but we don't know how many doors are there in the block of flats. So the number represents a minimum. It might increase, our estimate is that we'll increase it by about another 11,000 as we start looking at this place. Therefore, the number of small areas will probably come to about 114,000. And if we find that out, that is the case, then we will demarcate those areas accordingly within the time that is remaining, so that we can allocate to each area a person who does the enumeration. We've created the maps. They have been printed. The summary book for the maps has been printed and is completed. Questionnaires have been printed, 20 million of them. and they are in our stores and now beginning to, they have been sent to the provinces. And of course, we have all the field materials that we require in our warehouses in Pretoria, 94%, 95%. This number changes by the day as we get close to the final quantity of materials that we need. As fieldwork supervisors or fieldwork coordinators have been recruited, let me talk about the structure of the census where it comes. We are going to have 120,000 people working in this 103,000 areas. But this 103,000 areas, as I said, are likely to increase to about 114,000. So we'll have 120,000 working in there. They will be supervised by 30,000, meaning that for every four people, there is a supervisor. These will be coordinated by 6,000. The 6,000 have been trained. They are now out in field. We went out to train the 30,000. They are now out in field and they are listing. You'll see them dressed in some black caps and blue vests. And they go street by street, identifying and saying, this is the house, this is the dwelling, this is where we are going to enumerate. So they provide a register of dwellings. They go into blocks of flats and see that there are this number of doors at the blocks of flats. They also identify areas that are difficult in terms of access, so that we can sharpen our strategies in order to gain access to buildings. The training of listers and supervisors has gone. We ended on the 22nd, and now these people have been deployed. Now we are finalizing the recruitment of the 120,000 people who will start training on the 22nd of September. These two activities have not been very easy. The 6,000 and the 30,000 have not been easy to recruit, to deploy into training centers, and to pay them tomorrow. That is the 6,000 that are going to get their first payment tomorrow. It's been quite difficult as you try to get their names, their records, their account numbers, and then at times the account number is not accurate, and people capture it, or people capture it wrongly, and as you try to pay, the verification forms out, and then you have to call this person and say, well, by the way, he can't pay you because your account number is not right. So starting tomorrow, Chair, yes, there might be people who will say we have not been paid. We are aware of that. We've already contacted those whose account numbers are not correct, or one or the other document is not available so that we can pay. But getting to that point, amassing and doing all that has not been easy. These 6,000 also have cars. There have been 3,000 cars distributed to them, 300,000 cars distributed to them, almost two people per car. We've recruited these people, they've got driver's licenses. We've tested them and seen whether they can actually drive. But it's also not clear whether we will know as they drive. So that's what we will know as they drive. But what we have done is also to rent the hired cars so that the police must befriend them. The traffic officers must befriend our enumerators all the time. Talk to them, find out whether things are right, and the car be identified from its distance that it is a census car. That way, I think everybody in South Africa will help us to manage and support these people and support the census. But importantly, on the side of how reckless or not reckless they might be, because there is a very big risk there. It's a risk to the census. So, 120,000 enumerators we are getting. What are the challenges? They have to count. Those are people who stay in golf estates, gated communities, blocks of flats, including people who stay in informal settlements. They are very difficult to get because the information that we have shows that the average household size of an informal settlement is the smallest in the country. In fact, they match the top end of our society in terms of those who are rich and those who live in informal settlements and those who live in very high income almost have the same kind of average household size. And the undercount among those in the last censuses were almost similar. So it is not a matter of class, but it's a matter of whether they are available and you find them. What is common between those high-end and the informal settlement is that you can't find them at home because they stay either alone or there are only two of them. 50% of the informal settlements have an average household size of one person. So unless you understand the movements, you'll never find them. Even when you have somebody, but the strategy is recruit locally and deploy locally. So that way people may know whether they... where these people are. In high-walled and high-rise and the welfare states, you do not know where these people are and when they are there. That's the problem there. But we have a serious problem on that group as to how to count. Well, I think that the publicity campaign is beginning to show, and I think that is being resolved. We are in the press, we are in your faces, and I think we'll be intensifying that. We don't have people coming from high-walled areas. That's a big problem. We don't know who will enumerate there because we haven't all got people coming from there. We are doing everything, approaching churches and so on, in those areas and schools so that we can get somebody enumerating there. We think that your enumerator campaign, which will be a poster campaign, will mitigate that problem so we can still deploy people in there who are coming from elsewhere. But preferably, we wanted people from those areas. We have started, although late, building partnerships with local structures. We are looking at endorsements. We'll be meeting with we met with SALGA now. We are meeting with other local structures such as SANCO. We are meeting with the traditional leadership structures and addressing them and seeking endorsements. Of course, all this should lead to a reduced undercount. 10%, 18%, unacceptable. Single digits, preferable. Lower single digits, certainly desirable. So all these strategies should lead to that. Our strategy centers around localized recruitment, but I said there are difficulties, particularly in high-rise. Acquisition of training venues at local level, very difficult. We have been able to get some free venues, but these venues on Saturdays and Sundays are not available. So that's the problem. Satellite offices have not been available because we have opened about 128 offices. Connectivity in 4G is not there, and I'm talking to Telkom to make sure that we get all those connected because we have not been able to connect and information flows are difficult when there is no connectivity. We are requesting through Honorable Minister Manuel that there is mobilization. We need to create positive public interest in the campaign so that people can participate and know that it is their responsibility to participate. We want to show that and demonstrate that the National Statistics System is very important, and as we get the Planning Commission and the Monitoring and Evaluation, the two sides are enjoined by the National Statistics System, by data. and we need to make sure that those are enjoined. We need to ensure that we can ask a question, my neighbor, were you enumerated? And if they have not, please advise them to be enumerated. The marketing people, when you quote something, they say, if you are good, if you feel good about it, tell everybody. If you don't feel good about it, come and tell me. I hope the same strategy may have to work that way. But I think we have to say support the campaign with that kind of person. MPs, we request that they promote public awareness and maximize participation. The importance of the census, and those censuses as a household brand, and engage political and executive leaders to advocate for census as a national effort, and use all public platforms to propagate at the census. And indeed, when we have done that, we will have strengthened the national statistics system. Chair, I think what we have done is to adopt a strategy that says start early, exit slowly, but blast it with publicity. We started early, unlike the other censuses where we would have brought everybody in within a very short space of time, train them and deploy them. This time around we started as early as August, brought this waves of people, we have done the listing. Now we are bringing the publicity to the center. And we'll have a mop-up period of 2 weeks from the 1st of November to the 14th, so that any other area that is still outstanding, we can deal with. The previous mop-up operations were like people running away from war. Defeated and running away from war. It was not a mop-up operation at all. It was an exit away from a battlefield. This time around, we will know where we have encountered. We'll take a very deliberate stand to go and campaign around that and ensure that everyone is counted in the country. With that strategy of starting early, exiting slowly, and blasting it with campaign, we believe that we can actually reverse the fortunes of counts in South Africa from a 10%, 20% undercount to a single digit, preferably, and to lower single digits, desirably. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, SG. Quite inspiring input. But let me leave it to the honourable members to engage with your submission. Honourable George, followed by Honourable Luyenge, Honourable Goran Wolf, Honourable Marais. I'll stop there, and I'll take the next round of questions. That's why you're in this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. I can see that the program is very well on track, so it's good to see. My party, the Democratic Alliance, is 100% behind the census, and we will encourage everybody to be counted. I just would like to confirm the form. Now, we got one before. It was a dress rehearsal form. Now, has anything changed on that? I'd just like to know. And if so, I'd like to see the final version. On the guidelines for MPs, thank you very much for that. I think it's very, very useful, and I've read it with great interest. On item 4.6, you mention the hard to count areas, and you did mention briefly what these might be. I was just thinking that possibly other public representatives could assist, for example, local ward councillors who are very close to their communities. And you mentioned the high-walled areas. Now, I know that there are residents' associations that are very active in those communities, and I think that that could assist you to penetrate the walls through the residents' associations. You also mentioned, Statistician General, that there was some concern about the process you know, the recruitment and payment process of people that are assisting with the census. And there seems to have been some kind of allegations about unfairness in the selection process of individuals that were selected for this. I'm not sure whether there is any validity to that. I certainly hope that there isn't. But I would like to know what process was followed in selecting people to prevent any unfair exclusion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate this informative submission that has been made by the SG. Just to say, also as public representatives, we have seen the SG, telling the people in South Africa to say the ball is now rolling, and we appreciate this information. I have got some few questions, two or three, Chairperson. One is around the quantification of service delivery. Are there any service standards that the SG or the organization has in order to ensure that their measuring rod is actually against a particular benchmark? Then secondly, around the issue of disabled or physically challenged people, are they checking those that are physically disabled? Some of the physically challenged, they can be physically challenged but able to do work. Some are in offices, some are in senior offices, and then there are those who are disabled and unable to work, those who are receiving grants. So which category are you working on? Do you consider both categories of disabled people? Then the last one is around the legitimacy of migrants. Do you quantify those that are in the country with the necessary documentation, or do you do anything with regard to those that will say, hey, I am here, I'm still struggling to get papers? What do you do with that kind of information that you come across? And yes, of course, I think that's the question that I had. And generally, the issue of service delivery being measured, I mean, it's one issue that I'm very excited about and would like to understand it better so that I can preach the gospel knowing it clearly that I'm not giving retext to the masses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, I think the SG with his team has get all the support he can get, and obviously he will get it from us and from Parliament. I just want to know how long, just for the purpose of the media and the purpose of households that are going to be exposed to this operation, how long do you think it will take for a supervisor to spend in a household to complete the 75 questions? And what time of the day will they start with the process? Is it after hours, 5 o'clock, just for my information? And then, you know, where you have difficulties in doing a survey, how to access households, I think in some of the cities you can quite easily use Google Earth Street View. That is, you can sit in front of your computer and probably do all your stuff and not walking physically the street, you know, if you want to do some sort of a survey. And then finally, on the 3,000 motor cars, are they being rented from rental companies in South Africa? If so, was there a tender process for that? Are the drivers Do they need to hold a logbook while they're driving the cars? And are they yellow?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, SG. I think this is a process, as my colleague has said, that everybody must support across political spectrum. So it must be, we must try to totally depoliticize the process, because it's in the interest of everybody. So I want to emphasize that, but then I want to ask the question, first of all, the groups that you are using, you have indicated, amongst others, SANCO. Now, whether we like that or not, SANCO is absolutely seen as a political organization. And I'm speaking from a Western Cape perspective, where SANCO has got one perception, that's politics, and they are not a well-represented organization in the Western Cape anymore. So either we must move away totally from political affiliated organizations like SANCO, or we must try to utilize the political structures in the provinces. So in other words, I mean, you know, I'm speaking from a DA perspective, where we, you know, control most of the municipalities in the Western Cape. And if you then want to use those structures, use the municipalities and the structures that are available for that purposes. Because, I mean, we're experiencing currently quite a let's call it a political drive from all political parties, especially those who lost the last election. And I'm just afraid that by using politically affiliated organizations, that you will politicize it. Because again, I mean, what I'm honest with you, what we're experiencing is people to say that, hey, we've won, now we want the jobs. And we said, no, it doesn't work that way. So if it's now again come and they say, hey, we are losing out again, you know. So I don't want to see that, and I think that will be the wrong signal out there. Then in terms of, Connick has mentioned about the disabled fraternity, to what extent will you be using them as well? Because they are well-represented, non-political affiliated associations that represent people with disabilities, who can most certainly assist tremendously or be utilized as well. Then just a question, and I know I've been asked this question. I'm purely asking this because of many people see themselves as Africans, irrespective of your color. And in this form, it is qualified Black African. Why that? I mean, if you are Black, you're Black, and if you are a citizen, you are South African, and you're from Africa, you're African. Why that? And I'm purely asked that question because I have been asked that question. And again, one wants to depoliticize the process because it's in the interest of everybody that this must be so fully representative, and you must have the cooperation and the support of every single citizen. Thank you.
Honorable Murray, what you are saying is that depoliticize and de-racialize. Before I take the next round of hands, I should allow the SG and his team to respond to the first batch of questions.
So thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Indeed, let me say, even before we end, I ask the questions that I see ourselves getting out of here with a lot more than we thought we were bringing in terms of what are the things that we can do that will help us move forward. So I should thank honorable members for this very useful input. The issue of the hard to count, indeed, local ward committees, we really appreciate that, Honorable George, we will approach residents' associations so that they can actually help us. I'm sure when you hear me say penetrate the walls, you will not accuse me of plagiarism, because I think that catchphrase actually deals with the matters that we want to deal with. So we will use that slogan, that we are penetrating the walls, which is very, very important, to crack that and come in and do the count. And through the approaching the residents' associations, we should be able to achieve that. The issue of the process, has it been fair, has it been unfair? Yes, I've also been approached by people calling and saying, well, you know, we have been excluded in this in terms of employment. What are you doing about it? We do follow up on those instances and take swift and quick action. I recall right at the beginning I had to send one of our legal representatives to one province to go and say, look, just hear out what this person is talking about. Assess the situation, come back with a recommendation, and your recommendation will be my decision. We acted as swiftly as that, so that by doing so, the whole chain of command knows that all information that comes from the ground can be attended to and attended to speedily. And that's how we have organized ourselves. The way the process was done was that we advertised as early as June last year. Then we closed it for the adverts. We advertised again and closed for the adverts in June this year. We got all the adverts. We positioned the people in the areas where they applied for doing this work. It has been a very difficult task. I think we asked for the impossible, because we asked for addresses and then place names so that we can locate the contestants within smaller geographic areas. We don't do that in South Africa, where addresses are not very clear. You end up with a pile of applicants who you cannot allocate to a place. So it has been one of the most difficult and hair-raising complexities that we brought into the system. But as we went wave after wave trying to do that, we finally managed to a large extent to locate people where they should. So there are contestants within specific areas. We have a criteria that they must have at least have a matric, they must at least have a driver's license for those who will be required to drive, they must be a resident, and they must have some level of tertiary education. Based on that, the first selection process took place. Then they will come in, and then they will be trained, and then they will write a test. And then, having written that test, those who get the highest mark will be deployed or not deployed. So that's for this group of 120,000. For the 6,000, we brought them in. We made them write a test. Those who got 70 and above were appointed. But because we are not making the numbers, we had to lower our ambition a bit to 60. And then we managed to get the numbers that we required. For the 30,000, we recruited them similar to the 120,000. They should have tertiary education. And once they have met that criteria and also have a driver's license and so on and so on, and then they got trained. And as they got trained, all those that scored about 70% were then appointed. But there, too, we had to lower our ambition to 60%, and we absorbed those who were above 60%. So that's the criteria that has been applied. Where we don't have people, we actually target. And in targeted recruitment, there are always difficulties, because then it's who you know, how you know them, and so on. So at the margin, those things are going to happen. Because once you start targeted recruitment, you fall into those kinds of problems. So there will be instances where we will fall short in terms of the fairness of the process. Quantification of service delivery. Indeed, the questionnaire has been consistent across time, from 96, 2001, 2011. A few changes here and there, like the one that we had in 2001 that created problems in terms of water supply, because suddenly we found that it looks like the... And that was because of the change in the sequence in the way the question was asked. But we were able to correct for that sequence. But the questions have been consistent across on water, sanitation. We have included electronics, internet access, and so on, because it's a new phenomenon and it's quite big. We have included that as well. But water, sanitation, electricity, and refuse removal still remains. It doesn't say how far, within 200 meters or not, that we cover in the sample service. In this one, we actually just ask whether you have access to at clean water, where is, what is your the sanitation that you use, and what is your refuse disposal or removal facility that you use. The questionnaire has changed somewhat in that we have added a few more questions. We've added questions on agriculture. We have expanded a little bit on disability, because the previous questions didn't bring out disability adequately. We were gone with the Washington Group on Disability, which is a group of statisticians and people who understand disability better, and we are using those definitions. We are using those kinds of questions to try and get to disability. In our surveys that precede the census, we think that the question tends to exaggerate disability, particularly for children 0 to 5. But it measures disability adequately for all people above that age. But 0 to 4, it doesn't work that well. For instance, I had to pull off the general household survey because disability was at 15%. When we removed the children 0 to 5, we found that it comes to about 10%. So it's very skewed when it comes to children. That's the question on disability. In terms of disability, we deal with all the forms of disability, that whether you are unable to, whether physically there are features that do not function as normal, that we take as disability, irrespective of whether you can still work. I mean, the people who are blind, they certainly are blind, but they still perform activities. And you will be able, in the census, to find that the person will say, yes, I work, and this is the work I do, but on impairment, yes, I am blind, but I do my work, I do the work. So you can, you get all the categories of disability irrespective of whether the person works or doesn't work. So that's how that question has been crafted. On migrants, Honorable Luango, we do ask the question on citizenship. We also ask the question on migration, when did the person come into South Africa. Out of that, you can know who are people who naturalized or came to South Africa, or but whether they have got all the papers, the right papers, that we don't venture into. That's the remit of Home Affairs, the police, and we count those who are in South Africa at the time. And we don't share the information with anyone else of the law enforcement authorities. In fact, if we did, I would be in prison for 6 months or charged 10,000, or both would be sentences imposed on me for violating the Statistics Act. That information that people provide is protected by law. Honorable Kuono, to ask this 75 questions. It takes about 45 minutes. When we listed Maboko Boko, the question for transient populations, because they were transient, they were not at home. They were staying in a hotel and then moving out. That question took 3 minutes to fill. Tick, 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 and then they were gone. But the one for households is a little longer. It takes about 45 minutes. What time of day will people come? Our recruitment strategy aims at actually getting to people at the time when they are back from work. So the work will start probably about 3 o'clock going into the evening. In the mornings, in urban areas, you don't find a lot of people around. In villages, you do. So there, people can start as early as they wish. So we will try and time when people are available. The morning part will be used for supervisors to meet with their enumerators and discuss the questionnaires, discuss the difficulties, and then get deployed into field. The ratio is 1-4. Previously it was 1-10, and it made it quite impossible for the person to do the supervision well. Indeed, yes, the maps that we use are quite good, and at head office, we are working on a system that will tell us where things are happening and how they are happening, so that we can monitor on a daily basis how work is being done at the level of the street. That's how we are looking at this, and which households have not been enumerated. For instance, during enumeration, we leave a barcode in the house that has been enumerated. And this barcode is a quality control for 0.5% that we will select. Of course, we leave a barcode in all the 15 million households. Then we come with a 0.5% sample to verify how well the census had gone. That is through the post-enumeration survey. So we'll bring the two bar stickers together to see whether that household was enumerated. Where there is no barcode, we'll know that it was in the first instance not enumerated. But at times, people forget to put the bar sticker back. So the matching will happen at the processing center. So there are quite a number of controls that we are going to implement to verify and validate whether the work has been properly done. Honorable Marie, the cars we have, we are renting about 5,200 cars. Yes, the tender was called. We've got Ivy's, Tempest, Europe car, and the big ones, and have, I think the 5 big ones are in there. Yes, the drivers have logbooks. What we are going to do as a practice note will be that they cannot come every week to head office or to some head office to come and get trip authority. They will get trip authority for the duration, because otherwise even the benefit of a 300 kilometers a day are going to be taken up by people driving back to come and get a trip authority. That then loosens our grip on management of the cars. Our transport officers will go to where the cars are and inspect them from time to time. And we have tracking devices so people know where those cars are at any given time. But risks are quite high. I mean, if there is a risky group that we have in the value chain, in the chain of command, it is that group of 6,000 because of the mobile devices that they are using, which is a car. That's where the biggest risk lies at the moment. The cars will be yellow. We are blending them, all 6,000 of them, so that the police can befriend the census taker and the public can befriend them. But they will park at all places because they have to enumerate. but I don't think they will partake of the things that are in those spaces like liquor and so on. But when you find it parked there, indeed they would definitely be doing the work. But the work doesn't include taking liquor during office hours. Honorable Murray, we met with some of the stakeholders, and they were quite interested to know how has the recruitment occurred. Can they help with the recruitment? We said, no, yes, indeed, we appreciate being helped in the recruitment, but these are the standards that we are keeping. And the choice of who is appointed is the choice of SSA, and I think that has been understood. So all interests, including political parties, have this understanding that insofar as the choice of people are concerned, SSA has the final word. In as far as support to mobilize the public, certainly we rely on all structures of society to support. I think that distinction has made it possible not to be held to ransom. I know that particularly in Western Cape in 1996, we really had a very difficult time with some of the structures, including in Northwest as well. So we have worked in that way to eliminate any possibility of undue pressure and undue process in the appointment and execution of the task. Indeed, we need to use the problem, or rather, let me say that the coincidence of activities of the census and local government elections was the problem. We had hoped that we would have approached municipalities and through them get to the census. But then the election just came right in between, and with an election, you know that there could be a lot of discontinuities, and we didn't want to go and spend a lot of energy in a process that might be discontinuous. So now that there are new councillors, we can actually start working together, but we have lost the benefit of actually approaching that process through councillors. So we are quite weary around the election coming just shortly before the census. It's one other consideration that we may have to make, that the two events, probably the census must precede an election, because in that way we can make use of the current councillors. But if it is too close and the election precedes the census, then we really have a serious discontinuity, and it's very disruptive to undertaking a census. The Honorable Marie, this question of black African is a difficult one. I don't know how to answer it. It's in the questionnaire. I am obliged by duty to stick with it. It is a difficult question, because when you look at white, black African, Indian, Asian, colored, it's a whole set of concepts that are not at the same level. But fortunately or unfortunately, we have used this over time, and it has been very, very consistent in terms of the results that we get. So I think we'll have to stick with it in the way it is. But I think the person we're saying, we are not part of this four category that we have. So it's a difficult one. But because it's a historical concept, we've got to continue with it. In fact, black African, the concept black under the rubric of political resistance meant everybody who was not white. Now, when you put it that way, it creates a difficulty in terms of the historical time series. So that's why we had to put black African to try and make that distinction. It still looks unconvincing to anyone, but unfortunately, to maintain time theory, we have to do that. And it looks like practically it works, because the results we get, which are very consistent. Chair, I think those were, I don't know whether it's doing.
Honorable Luyanga, you want to make a follow-up, but I won't allow you to have a second bite. You'll have your second bite later. Let me take the others. Honorable Van Rooyen, Madlamini, and then Honorable Teto, in that order. Then Luyanga, you'll have your follow-up.
All right, thank you very much, Chair. Very quickly, Chair, on the budget projections, are we still on course, or are there any deviations that we're supposed to know of? And secondly, on the issue of localized training, maybe if we are to do an analysis, we might establish that there are factors that obviously led into this situation where you are able to recruit more especially from your farming communities. I mean, that will range from the educational level, but also I think how do you advertise for recruitment? Because our people in those areas don't access your normal platforms for advertisement. So I will be very much happy if I can, a picture can be painted of the severity of this particular problem, because most of our people are also located in those areas. But also the outreach that you are referring to, I mean, when were they started? How many people have been, or maybe how many sectors have been met with? And also, Chair, on the ambassador's pack, one of the things that I think must be included in this ambassador pack is flyers that we can use in our knock and drop, but also our door-to-door outreach. Because, I mean, that's what we usually do when we want to outreach effectively. We go to taxi ranks, we need to give people flyers, easy to read information on what is expected of them. We go door to door, I mean, to do the same, you know. So I think as part of the ambassador pack, as more especially as MP, our constituency offices must be finished with flyers so as we can outreach extensively as a way of enhancing the publicity issue. I think on the issue of the cars, the check and balances of hired cars, in terms of involving the public, is there any hotline that we can phone if we pick up that maybe there is reckless driving or misusage of these public assets? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is not a question, but rather a compliment. And just to let the SG know that the ANC, indeed, we heard the call and we responded, especially in KZN. What has happened, we, as the province, the ANC is busy with regional conferences, and within the branch general meetings, the conversation of the census takes place and we debate about it. So what has come out, Chair, is that you know, us at the KZN, the majority of our population lives in the areas where there are no streets. We don't have streets. Much as we stay in the mountains and next to the rivers, what is going to happen? Indeed, we really appreciate. I remember when we were doing, when we were at Umsinga, we met with one of your staff driving. There were two with the beeps, And they even told us that we need to go down the mountain. There's a lady there that can't even move. So which means, indeed, you are in the ground, and we are feeling you. So we really appreciate that. But the like I've said, there were some proposals which were raised by comrades when, because the ANC started the initiative of saying, this is ours, we need to make sure that it works. So that at the end of the day, we get an equal profitable share when budgets get allocated. So one of the proposals was that, how about if your staff, when the aged, when it's this, what do you call the pension and the grants pay days, your staff, they wake up as early as 4 o'clock, because those old ladies, they'll find them, they're sleeping there, some of them. And then they take that opportunity to make sure that they register everybody. By so doing, they recover the majority of that ward or of that area. That's what they propose. And then secondly, they said they are not too sure as far as the employment is concerned, because they've got 12 regions at the KZN, and it came from at least about 8 regions. Then we realized there was a bit of a problem, and this is now the really, really, really pro-rural areas, where we thought, like you said, SG, if you employ the people locally, they understand that here you can go even whatever day, but on this area you can't go because they are at the Sabbath, at the Saturday, you're not going to find anybody in this side. So and so, which means the employment is not visible. Maybe you need to look at it and see what is happening. But other than that, we really saying, as the ANC, in particular KwaZulu-Natal, we are up and running and we are on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I've got two questions, Chair. One is about the identification of these numerators. Is it only the cap, or how are we going to identify them beside the cars? Because you might find even criminals having what is unique on your on the uniform of these numerators, because people must be aware whether these are the right people or knocking at my door, or other people are taking chances. Are they going to have like name tag, so that when things goes wrong there, somebody must account, find a way of how to put that person to account? The second question, Chair, is about I appreciate also, join those who appreciate the ambassador document, but I think it needs to be also having sort of a structure, as we have break down the districts, to know who the supervisor in this area, so that the ambassador might know whom to talk to when there are problems that are there on the ground. Certain MPs are part of the community, they live in the community, but you must at least identify between the numerator and the supervisor, or at least know where to get the supervisor when in terms of problem. Not only themselves knowing each other, but as MPs, since we're also involved in the process, I think we need to know at least telephone numbers, who's the supervisor in this area, where to find the offices as well. The question of the recruitment, Chair, has been well captured by the other comrades, but the issue still remain that people always ask, where are these offices? Who recruit? When is the advert? You know, it goes more of a perception. How is it being was already recruited, or it's not recruited? It's still gonna come. I think we must find a fine tune there.
Yeah.
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 Chair, my follow-up is around the service delivery measurement. Because if there was no response pertaining to the service standard, what does actually constitute a service? If you're talking water for a population of 1,000, to quantify that, you need to know as to what would constitute a service being rendered, a percentage kind of. So I was asking as to whether there is that kind of a measuring tool as a service standard. Then the issue of the disability, especially the category of those that are unable to do the work. If that is not being asked as to whether you are you receiving, how do you make your living? Do you receive a grant or not? If that question is not being asked, it means this process will not assist SASSA in order to prepare for their service to reach the intended community. Then, even to the migrants, are you taking identity numbers for people when you are counting them? If you don't do that, it means the Department of Home Affairs won't be able to utilize this process in order to identify as to what is the number of people who do not have identity documents, those that are not residents of the country, those who are but do not possess those ID documents. So it's just a question like that, Chair. And then on the issue of the process being depoliticized, I would agree to a notion that says, yes, depoliticize the process. It means even if you are a politician, but when you are assisting in this process, you should not be clinging into your political affiliation or political party in doing your work. So I want to correct an insinuation that would be saying Sango is affiliated or aligned to a political party. If that is the case, I would disagree with that, to say Sango is apolitical. It's a national renowned community-based organization. So if other political parties disassociate themselves with Sango, it's their own problem, but on its establishment, the organization is for every member of the community. Thank you.
SG?
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with Honorable Wenge to further clarify the questions that he had asked, and it complicated my life in many ways. The issue of a count of a population is results in a statistical output, and that statistical output is one which gets communicated. If the statistical output is the number of people who do not have IDs, yes, I think it would be a legitimate statistical output. But there's a process which is also known to protect the identity of individuals. Anything getting too close to identification will make the process not successful, to be self-defeating. So there is a lot of caution in terms of identifiers that clearly can actually go back to identifying the people. So that separation of administrative records and the statistical process, that's where it is made, so that the principle of anonymity and the process being for statistical purposes is maintained. So we do not go to the issue of ID numbers. It wouldn't matter if we were to ask whether you have an ID or not. If we ask that question, do you have an ID? Don't you have an ID? It would be adequate. But to take an ID number would be going beyond the mandate, and it would threaten the process. We do not have the question of whether one has an ID or not, but I think it wouldn't hurt if it was asked, because then Home Affairs would know how many people in which areas might not have been well serviced. As you will see, Honorable Member, that it's already quite loaded, the census questionnaire, and there are other ways by which IDs can be canvassed. And in fact, as we look at the information from Home Affairs, the number of late registrations has actually declined very sharply, and any registration of children as they get born has increased quite well as a consequence of the child support grant. The question is when the child support grant stops, are we going to see a reverse in terms of population registration? So there are incentives that, when implemented, have statistical health implications on record keeping. When they are removed, that record keeping might go with that. So one has to be fairly careful when the incentives are removed to be able to continue with the records, because that has improved quite dramatically as a consequence of a child support grant. There is a question on the source of income. Because each person is asked the individual questions, you also ask whether you work, you ask whether you are disabled, you also ask whether you have a source of income. You have income and what the source of that income is. So you could very easily identify people who are disabled, who do not receive any income. So by cross-tabulating that, you will know. There was a question that I forgot, which was asked by Honorable Murray, which is, have you got people who are disabled in your employ? One of the things we realize that we actually have people who are disabled who we appointed as enumerators. That's going to make their life very difficult, because they have to work, and if they are not able to work, that's a problem. However, we believe that at data processing, it is quite possible. In fact, they perform much better than people without disabilities at data processing, because those processes, so we will have to have a very biased recruitment process towards the disabled people at data processing. In fact, we did that quite well in 1990, in 2001. We need to repeat that as well. Out of those people, we are able to absorb some of those into a permanent structure of the organization. But we lost handle of the process of being deliberate about it in between the two censuses. The service delivery questions, Honorable Members, we ask whether you have access to water, access to, but they're not the kind that says you have access to 200 liters at an RDP standard. And that we don't have. But we ask whether you have access to water, and then in terms of time series, you see how a change is happening in communities. The question by Honorable Von Royen, budget projections and deviations. It's early days. It is early days. We are likely to see deviations, but I think as soon as that happens, we'll raise the alarm bells. As I said, the 5,000 cars will be our biggest risk. Because they are not under, we are not, they have tracker systems and everything, but they are not largely under the control, immediate control of, that's where we are likely to lose a lot of control. And that might be the main source of spend. The difficulties of calling people to training centers and not having them all at the same time at the training center, and then ending up with longer days for training, it's another area that is not very tightly under our control. And those are the two sources that may create deviations in our operations. I think that's where the budget pressures are beginning to stresses. Are beginning to come. The localized the factors leading to including recruitment. Yes, the adverts were also in local media, and we also distributed the application forms through our offices, and they were filled and brought back. The difficulty is this, is that some people have left their usual places of residence and come to other places and apply from there and use those as their base. And there is no process by which you can check the validity of the claim until the time when you say, okay, here is where you will work, and then you realize that probably this person doesn't reside in that space. So all those create problems, and you realize that very late in the day when you are about to train or actually about to deploy the person and say, now this is where you are going to work. That is happening quite a lot, and we have quite a number of people from Limpopo who have come to Gauteng, and others from other areas in Nelson Mandela Metro who have moved there, including renting shacks so that they can get this job. So the dire conditions of unemployment at times in the country have created a process that impacts on what we are trying to do, and we are fairly sensitive to this, and we need to, as much as possible, do what we want to do. So those are the things that may start creating pressures onto the system. What are the sectors of community that we have met? We are meeting with Sanko on the 12th. We are meeting with Contralesa on the 10th. At the provincial level, we have been meeting with a number of farmers' unions, Tau, AgriSA, and so on, in the localized sessions that they have. We will be at the Pretoria show, which largely has a very big agriculture constituency, and we will be talking to the agricultural sector there. The faith-based, we met here in Cape Town last week, and we are meeting with the FACC again as well to say, well, let it be preached on the Sunday of the 9th that counting is important, and in the Bible it's referred to in a number of verses, and it should be part of the scripture for that day, the birth of Jesus, the instruction by King David to Joab to go and enlist, Ecclesiastes 3, where it says that everything under the universe, there is time and time to do everything, and I think we can say this is time to count. So all those are parts of the scripture that we can draw from in terms of this big count. Indeed, flyers, I'm sure Mr. Vick will make sure that there's a, the hotline is available, and in fact it's written on the branding of the vehicles, so that we can actually call that there is some reckless movements here. Honourable members, I mean, indeed we appreciate the work that has been done thus far with yourselves in KwaZulu-Natal. It's a very difficult terrain for the enumerators, but I'm sure they really understand it. There have been stresses in the system because of linking people to areas where they come from. For instance, the 120,000 and 17,000 of those who come from KwaZulu-Natal have not been contacted yet. Yesterday when I was in Durban, I was approached by someone who was there at Salga and saying, look, I've come here, I've got a temporary for cleaning, but I'm looking for this job. When are you calling us? I said, no, you will be contacted in the next few days once we have identified and located people appropriately. So the 120,000 have not as yet been informed as to when they should come. But we have these 6,000 people and each one of those 6,000 will be talking to about 20 people. And those 20 will then be directed to where the training will be, which starts on the 22nd. So in the next 4 weeks, or rather 3 weeks, that should happen. Identification of enumerators, Baba Mteto, Honorable Mteto. They have the tags that they will be wearing with a photo. They also have posters put up in the areas where they enumerate. They will be the new politicians in town. That's the way they will be known and visible. They also have their cell number there, so that for them to be contacted by households, because I think the situation has changed because of the buzzers. There are no buzzers, but when you know that we have not been enumerated, the enumerator will be in your vicinity, which will be about 0.25 of a square kilometer, which can be walked around. I mean, within a very short space of time, you can call the enumerator and say, "I'm home, come and enumerate me." So the telephone number and everything will be there on the poster with the face of the enumerator. We have learned from political parties how these things are done, and that campaign will be. The problem with that is that the logistics of that, because within 11 days these people have to be trained. So their photos have to be taken, this have to be taken to a printer, brought back, distributed to them. Each is about 30 or so posters, and they put those up. Those logistics are just killing at the moment, and we need a bit more time to get through those before the count starts. The supervisors, indeed, they'll be known. In fact, linking your question, Honorable Mteto, to the one of Honorable George, we will have to link each of the 6,000 coordinators to a counselor, so that they will know who to cry to when things don't work. So I think that structure is to now kick in. I think those were the questions, Chair.
Yeah, Honorable Tata, you want to make a follow-up?
The supervisor, let's say there's a community meeting, are they available to come and address such gathering? Because let's say we will organize a community meeting. Can you call them in and come and address as well? Give them a slot.
Yes, indeed. The fieldwork coordinator would be the appropriate person. The supervisor of the 30,000. It might be very difficult for them to find the energy and the stature to address. We haven't sharpened their skills in that area, but the 6,000 fieldwork coordinators, the ones that we are saying we will have to match, introduce them to the councillors. I think those at that level, they also have the vehicles to be in community meetings. Yes, indeed. But we will have to provide, we'll have to match those with the areas of councillors in which they serve. Yes, sir.
Thanks, SG and your team. I think we've come to the end. I just want to make some few comments. I think in your opening remarks, Superintendent General, Statistician General, SG, okay. You said you have got 41 days to go. Is it 41?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, you came here, you gave us a lot of information, you have given your feedback that should enrich your process. And all the things that you have raised must find an expression into a program within the next 30 days. Because we can't say the last 11 days is something that is left to be planning on. Now, there's one organization that almost does a similar work, but at a different scale, but the logistics are almost similar, and they have proven to run a seamless operation since 1994, that is the IEC. But one of the things that I have observed is that when it comes to the Auditor General, in terms of the Auditor General's report, I think in the past two financial years, they received a qualified audit. And when I try to ask what is the base of that, it is more around how do they do their disinvestment or payments of field workers. How do you intend to obviate that? And I'm told the Office of the Auditor General is also present here, because I think you are going to face similar challenges. You know, when you run a very seamless operation and a good operation, a good campaign, but the Auditor General comes and say qualified report in the public domain doesn't give a very good impression. So I would be interested on how you intend to deal with this particular aspect. Of course, the second issue is a very interesting observation that you have made, and I think those who does or who do spatial planning will be interested in this observation and similarities between the gated community and the informal settlement in terms of population density. Maybe density is the wrong word, but you're saying in terms of households, they almost have the number of people. Of course, the gated community will have more rooms in terms of and more toilets. It's important to emphasize these things, because sometimes we take it for granted that you find about 7-8 people. When I grew up in the township at my home, we shared one toilet, quite a number of people, and on weekends we had people who lived and worked in the urban areas, but who lived in hostels, but they would come at home for homemade beer. So we'd all share that toilet. So, but the observation that we've made in terms of gated community and the informal settlement, I think is a very, very interesting development that needs to be looked into. Because about, you say it's not a class issue, but it's about poor and rich having common, sharing a common identity at some level. The role of parliamentarians, as much as I agree with you that you have given us guidelines, but I think perhaps we should find a way to interact with the minister in bringing the whole of parliament into speech on this particular matter. Indeed, we think we've got vested interest as politicians in making sure that we get as much information as we can, so that our policies are informed by the number of electorates that exist. The last point is around in-your-face kind of a campaign. Started slowly, you'll exit slowly. You started early, exit slowly, but make a very blustering presence in the immediate. You know, we're a very interesting society, South Africans, and I understand the definition of black in general and Africans in particular. You're trying to find a way around it. Of course, society has evolved over some time. You know, if you take the World Cup, and I would want to imagine that the kind of people that you are employing for this, enumerators and all that, is basically the cohort of young people, which tells us something. And you're saying the level of
qualification should be at this matriculate. Now, if you can find 120,000 young people ever ready, and piles of application must tell us what kind of social problems are we facing in that area of young people in terms of unemployment. My take would be this database should not be lost. The database that will help us to address some challenges as we move on in terms of further training, employment opportunities, and so on and so forth. I don't know where that information will be fitted into in terms of the system. Now, you have got, from your own information statistics, that quite a huge number, percentage, of the unemployed people in South Africa is young people. And young people, in anything that they do, they need to be excited. You need to excite them in terms of your campaign. The World Cup, you had something like Feel It, It Is Here. And I remember getting into FNB in the evening. I can't remember what game was that. There was this young fellow, white, and was carrying a placard. He says, "Philip, I'm here." You know, they turn it around. "Philip, I'm here." And he kept on shouting this thing. So I turned around, and it was such an amazing thing. But the interest that the young people had in terms of the World Cup was amazing. The World Cup, I mean the election campaign. Even our friend Dion, you'll agree that it has become part of us dancing, you know, to the music and all that. So I don't think it will be something that we need to overlook in terms of getting our young celebrities to be part of this, you know. Even the IEC itself, every election they've got an election song. It's not a song that is political. It is about that particular program at that time. So I was just saying perhaps you may need to think about this thing. You have already answered the question around identification. I was going to ask that. I think I'm quite satisfied with that. But I think you need to bring some vibe into the census program. Let the young people also begin to be part of it, because there are quite a number of them who may not see the need given the disillusionment in terms of the levels of unemployment and all those kinds of things. So we need to find a way to excite them around these issues. You don't address the rally today, either in Greenpoint, what is the stadium here? Cape Town Stadium. Without getting Mafikizolo first in the morning to get the young people to be part of the function and the festivities. You must get Mafikizolo, you must get whoever. For elderly people like yourself, you must get Jonathan Butler to come and play. Then you find people are quite interested in what you are doing. But I'm just saying, let's bring some vibe into this thing. The Auditor General is here, would understand that it won't be a fruitless expenditure. It would have been what Parliament has proposed for you to probably bring into your program. So those are the few observations that I've made and probably proposals. You don't have to respond to the issues if you don't feel like SG.
The first one, Chair, on how do you execute and give results, but then the Auditor General says, well, I see the results, but there's an issue that we think you need to answer here. that is always an issue. For instance, we didn't want to disperse any cash, and all the systems were geared towards not dispersing any cash. But as we were wrestling with the problems, we
actually had to push cash to the provincial offices, and of course there are processes and that we have had to follow to ensure that the cash doesn't get it doesn't grow feet and it doesn't get unaccounted for. At least there is a tracer process throughout the system. Even if it gets feet, we'll know that that's how it got feet. So there are those instances, but this time around we are much more geared towards that. In 1996 and 2001, when we had to pump cash into provinces, there was no system or people who could account adequately, because as we moved out of census, everybody was temporary and they all had to go home as quickly as possible, because one more day meant that we had to pay for them. So there was nobody remaining to account. This time around, the 128 offices that we have, the stations are manned and women by people who come from, who are permanent in the office. So there is accountability throughout. The payment system that we adopted for the 150,000 is a different one. For the 6,000, because they will be there with us for four months, they go through PERSAL, and the PERSAL has a number of requirements. The other payment system doesn't have, does have requirements, but not as many. Need the person's name, the ID, and that's about, and the work that they will be doing. That's all. That's about all. And then we issue them with cards. When they finish their work, they have to produce that card or put it in an ATM and get their money. So that, I think, solves the problem. 98% of people will be treated that way. So it really solves our problem. If there are deviations, it will be around the 2%. And that used to be our biggest problem. And that's what led to all qualifications and everything. And now you had a high-end account. It didn't look, make us look good at all. This time around, I think we have in hand a way of dealing with the undercount, a way of dealing with the payments, a way of really accounting adequately in the census operation. So, Chair, I think we have something in hand. The bulk of things that have to be done have been done. And when we look at how they have been done, I don't see any fear that the Auditor General might come and say, but here you broke the law. I think we've taken care of all that. Yes. So I think we are ready to roll in this sense.
Thanks, SG and your team. Honorable members, I think we've come to the end of our deliberations. I must say, this is a very, very impressive report, and we think you are ready to run. We'll do our best on our part, and as I said, I'll engage with the minister. But also, you should actually convey this message that we think it will be important that we find a way in which we can drop in Parliament in a more meaningful way and bring that excitement into Parliament because we need it. I think we wish all the luck in the process. On your way out, honorable members, I think there are gifts at the back there, I'm told. You don't have to declare. If it's less than 1,500, thank you very much, SG and your team.
This is parliamentary monitoring group.
Yes.
Is this yours? Who is there? Oh, the lady over there. Okay.
Okay.
We brought you goodies as well.
I'm going to have a wasteland problem.